Hi, welcome to another edition of Subversity here on KUCI 88.9 FM in Irvine. The opinions expressed on the show are not necessarily those of the regents of the University of California, nor the management of KUCI. We dedicate this edition of the show to Tian Changlin, who was the executive vice chancellor here at Irvine, and also later became chancellor at Berkeley, who died this week. He was a strong advocate of affirmative action, and we will miss him. Today we're going to be talking with a cast and director of a new film that's going to be showing across the street here at UCI, across the street from UCI at the Edwards University, starting Friday. It's an independent film, one of several films that have made it across the street to the big screen. And so we're happy to welcome in the studio people connected with this film. And this is Dan Tsang, the host of Subversity. And if you want to call and talk with our guests, you can call 949-824-5824. With us here, Rod Pulido, Verwin Gatpandan, and Abe Patama. Yeah, and yeah. So welcome to the show. Well, welcome to the show. Yeah, Rod, why did you make this film?
Is about Filipino kids growing up here in America, and it deals with the identity crisis that some of them have because them living in a society that's dominated by black and white pop culture. And the reason why I made the film is because I thought it was long overdue that Filipino Americans had their stories told up on the big screen. So after coming out of Cal State Long Beach Film School, you know, I wanted to write and direct a movie about my experience here in America, because you never see any stories about Filipino Americans.
So how did you get the funding for this? Was it just credit cards and stuff?
Yeah, it's a pretty typical independent film story. I worked as a substitute teacher in the Bellflower School District for a few years, saved all of my paychecks, put it into the movie, and maxed out all my credit cards. And we shot the film for just under $8,000. And
$8,000?
Yeah. Just a little bit more than El Mariachi, but less than Clerks.
Because is part of the cost low because you didn't pay anybody to act in it?
That's true. All of the actors worked for free, worked for food. Same with the crew. And I think
worked for spam.
Exactly. Yeah, they all just were dedicated because they knew that the opportunity to act and play Filipinos was rare, and they saw that the project could have a good positive effect on our community.
So why was it in black and white then?
Well, we shot the film in black and white to symbolize the theme of the movie, which is the tagline is "The world is not just black and white." And as I said before, American pop culture was dominated by black and white images, black and white pop culture. And so I wanted to symbolize that misrepresentation of the American cultures, because like I said, you don't really see a lot of images of any Asian images or many Latino images. And I just wanted to show also the plight that the brother and sister are going through. How Davis, who's really entrenched in the African-American culture, and the sister Marvick, really just relates to white pop culture. And both of them are totally ashamed of being Filipino. So I wanted to just symbolize how a lot of Filipino kids are going through that, you know, not having any kind of Filipino role models, only seeing black or white images.
So was it also to save money doing it in black and white?
You know, the
people always the same, right? I mean, I suppose it costs a lot now to do black and white too. To get film, I mean,
it is cheaper in the processing, but that really had no effect at all. From the very get-go, when I was writing the script, I envisioned it in black and white. We play a lot with the cinematography, the symbolism of that. There's a lot of, for example, a lot of shots with the sister are somewhat overexposed, showing more of the whites, and then the exact opposite with the brother, Davis, who's really entrenched into hip-hop and African-American culture. We kind of shoot him darker. And there's actually one shot where the brother and sister go into their respective rooms, and the brother goes into a totally dark room, and the sister goes into a totally wide, overexposed room.
Oh, right. That's very symbolic.
Yeah. So it was really a visual aesthetic, why we shot it in black and white. And it really had nothing to do with the budget.
Verwin, I didn't realize you were a freshman at UCI when you did this.
Yes.
How did you get involved?
I basically heard about it through a friend. There was an open call at Cal State Long Beach, and I had just finished my first year of college, and I was still interested in acting. And so I figured I'd give it a shot, and I auditioned for it, and six months later I got a call from Rod.
At that time, had you just joined the Kababayan or hadn't?
Yeah, I was actually very active in Kaba my freshman year and my sophomore year.
And so the storyline, in the story, you say you join, and your dad in the story, who's actually on the line here too, Abe, freaks out over that. Abe, what did you say in the movie about Kababayan?
You're talking about me?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. First of all, I want to apologize. I'm actually going to an audition right now. I'm on my way.
Oh, great. Okay.
I don't know if you heard it. Regarding Kababayan, I only heard it through, the students from UCI. So in fact, my Nick is also from Irvine,
and
he's a member of Kababayan.
But in the movie, you actually had something to say about that group.
Yeah, it's one of the, it's one of the dialogue that I said about Kababayan, about joining Kababayan. So I don't know. At that time, I didn't know about Kababayan, actually.
I think the line is, Verwin tells him that he joined Kababayan, the campus organization for Philippines.
Well, we're getting Kare-Kare.
Yeah, I think your line is you're asking, is that some kind of crazy radical group?
That's right. Some kind of radical group. So you're trying to join.
That's okay, Abe.
That was pretty funny. Yeah. But I remember I actually went to the meeting when they celebrated its 25th anniversary or something.
Mm-hmm.
Was it?
Yeah,
a few years ago. And I was actually on a panel about race and stuff. Mm-hmm. And so it's been around at Irvine for a long time, actually.
Yes.
Yeah. So did you put that line in? You were the writer.
Yeah.
So you wrote, were you thinking of campus groups like?
Definitely. The character Darius, he plays the typical Filipino college student back from the summer, and who just became politicized, became aware of his Filipino culture, and in my experience, I actually went through that too, and when I came home from school after joining the Filipino campus organization, my parents thought I was crazy. They thought I was a crazy militant, and I think that's just a natural reaction, especially a lot of Filipino parents are somewhat conservative, and when their Filipino kids go away and then they learn more about politics and more about progressive issues.
Yeah.
And then when they come home, it's kind of a transformation, and the parents aren't used to it.
Abe, do you think the role you played is true to life, or is it a stereotype, or what?
I don't think it's true to life, because I'm looking at my own character. I'm not really that type, but maybe there are some
people
like that, but
yeah.
In my own, about myself, I'm not that type of person.
What would happen if your child wanted a nose job?
Go ahead.
Wrong answer, Abe.
Really?
Again, that's me.
If she wanted it to look whiter and stuff like that?
Really?
If she wanted to look white?
As long as you work in the mall and pay her own.
Come on, Abe, join the program.
How come you in the movie? Why did the mother character is interesting because Is she very religious or kind of religious at some point? But then,
yeah, definitely.
She actually ends up writing the check for the nose job.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah. Mom character is pretty much a parody and a satire of the typical Filipino parent that is overly religious, really Catholic. And in times when she's gossiping on the phone with her friend, that comes out, and we kind of play upon the humor in that. But I think the reason why she writes the check in order for her daughter to get the nose job is she doesn't have the power in her marriage, you know. And I think that it's her way of exerting herself, mm-hmm. you know, in you know, through her daughter. You know, I don't think it's necessarily that she approves of the nose job either way, or mm-hmm. but I think it's more to say that, hey, you know, I do have a say in this household, you know, and you know, I'm gonna let my child do this if she wants.
Did you actually live in that house? I mean, that you filmed in?
It was your house. That's we actually shot in the house that I grew up in, my parents' house.
Wow.
Yeah.
What city was that?
In Cerritos, California.
Oh yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. The cast actually stay there and live there for a while? Or?
Yeah, a few of the actors, Jose Sainz and Ronald Lee Parr for a time, stayed over, slept on the couch, and same with the crew. And I think that really helped their performances because we got really tight. And I think the actors started relating to each other as brothers and sisters.
Yeah. How about in your own life, Verben? Do you have brothers and sisters like that in your family?
You know what? Actually, at the time, I could really relate.
Really?
My brother wasn't to that extreme as Davis was, the character Davis in the movie. But he definitely had some qualities that were Davis-like. And so, you know, it's easy for me to kind of draw from that. And,
was he short?
No, he wasn't. He was as tall as me, and he could dunk. And that was a major difference. But as far as culturally being into the hip hop African American culture,
sure.
And even speaking in the way that Davis spoke in the movie, you know, that was very similar.
Did you get any reaction from audiences you've seen that were they mad at? Were there any angry reactions?
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
When I said about writing the script, you know, I wanted to write a story that would push buttons, that would push the envelope. And, you know, I didn't want to address the issue of identity and tiptoe around it. You know, I wanted to cut right to the core of the matter. And a lot of times audience members get offended because... I think they see themselves too much in the characters, and I think a lot of people don't like having the mirror shown to their face, you know. And
it's definitely revealing. I mean, it's mm-hmm. opening up in a way a closet, I suppose.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
I mean, compared to, actually, I mean, there's one other movie that called what is it, Black Bean Sauce? Fish. What is it called?
It's
not as biting, and it's a little mm-hmm. bit too stereotypical and mm-hmm. too slapstick. Mm-hmm. At the end, they kind of tear each other's hair. Catfish and Black Bean Sauce.
That's right.
At the end, this race and ethnicity of Vietnamese people, mm-hmm. and they basically just tear each other's hairs off.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, you know, again, I think that that's part of the movie's strength, though. I think that the fact that we don't pull any punches, that we're pretty much, you know, telling the truth. You know, we're showing the identity crisis that a lot of kids are going through, you know, and not holding back with that.
Oh, yeah. We just lost Abe, but we're going to get him back, hopefully. Anyway.
Until he gets her calling on his cell phone.
Oh, right, yeah. Yeah, I hope he's not driving and doing this.
Thank you.
Oh, gosh. I heard about that crash on the freeway.
Oh, no. There he is.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, so that we're all here now.
Okay.
Okay, great. Abe, what did you think about the whole film then? Or your participation in it? Did you?
I really enjoy it.
Pretty low key, actually.
A while ago, I never got a chance to play Filipino.
Oh.
And I've been acting for 25 years.
Oh, wow. Huh.
And it's the first time I was able to play Filipino father. And always playing, you know, Indian, Chinese, Japanese, never Filipino. So it was great. It was kind of a start of a revolution, if you want to put it that way.
Actually, I thought you were pretty kind of low-key in the movie. I mean, very subtle, actually, with your comments and kind of, you know, made people laugh, actually.
Well, that's a good script. You got to thank Rod for that.
Yeah. Did you improvise at all?
No, not really. I was kind of just following what Rod is saying. So whatever came out with that is something to do with reflect of what the director did.
Because I just saw some Korean film on campus by this guy who showing many erotic movies, actually, and he was making films, and he said he just goes to the setting in the morning and decides what he wants, and it's all comes out of his mind that day.
Wow.
And it seems like even
shooting without a script?
Yeah, sounds like it is. I don't know how you really would do that.
That's crazy. I would never do that.
I did a lot of those things too, you know, not having a script, so...
Oh, really?
But it depends on the director, what he wants you to do. I'm more like a director guy, so hey, I ask the director, what does he want to do? And if he let me go crazy, I'll go crazy.
Okay, Abe, you got the role already. Thanks, Abe.
Welcome to the show.
Jose Science has just joined us.
Yes.
Welcome to the show.
Hey, how you doing?
Hey, cool. Why did you get involved?
Why did I get involved?
Yeah, why?
Well, because I heard of the role actually from Verwin. And, not the role itself, but just the film being made. And, you know, another actor with aspirations. So I saw audition for the role.
You're actually a rap artist.
I think everybody's an artist. You know.
And a rapper.
That's one of the media that I try to express myself in.
Yeah.
That just sounds mean.
Did you actually think you were too short in real life?
Did I think I was what?
Too short.
Too short? No, too short's from the Bay Area, actually.
I didn't see that.
I never had a problem with my height, you know, so.
Actually, yeah. I think Jose is taller than the character. What are you, about 5'6", 5'7"?
Yeah,
5'5". Yeah. The character in the movie is actually 5'5".
5'5". Yeah, and he wants to be like...
Which it actually kind of works out anyway, because Jose has no... has no... he has no hops at all anyway, so...
Hops. So, did you already know all that lingo, I guess you say?
Lingo.
Did you speak Ubuntu?
Yeah, I had some prior awareness to it, but
that wasn't the script, huh?
Actually, I think I had like one or two lines that I added that rocked, but most of it was not odd stuff. Some of it was pretty bizarre, even for me, so that was kind of cool.
I didn't understand that reference to your friend, this whole thing about fellatio, what was that about?
I think you better talk to your parents about that. And
So that was fun.
The Pulp Fiction.
Yeah. So, are you in a band right now?
I am involved with a group, Factions Entertainment, MCs and Turntablists. Currently it's kind of hard to work on a music together being in different cities
around
California, but that's still there.
You study drama, and are you still a Cal State? No, where did you go to study? That was the other actor, huh? Who was still a student. His friend in the movie.
I think actually all of that was a graduate program.
He's actually teaching English in Hawaii. In
Oh, wow, wow. So where did you go to school, Jose?
Myself.
Yeah. Did you study theater?
I didn't major. I haven't finished. Technically, well, you know what? I'm not in school. I haven't finished it. Life had a few more curveballs But you know, other people have it harder, so it's all good. Right now I'm just working. But I've gone to various community colleges, Long Beach City.
Did you study
college and bit at UCLA College to take theater class from there?
Did you study drama, or was that is it just on your own?
I don't think I understand the question.
Did you study drama or theater?
Yes, I did.
Oh, you did. Okay.
Yes, I did.
So is this a group thing? I mean, how are you going to get people? You're trying to get people out to see the film, right? Obviously.
Yes.
Are you going to go to every theater that's? Have you gone that and done that?
Oh yeah. For the past few months, we've been waging a massive grassroots campaign promoting in the Filipino and Asian communities. And I've been speaking at all of the Filipino groups at all the colleges, and promoting at all the clubs, and just really trying to get the word out about the movie, because we think that it's really important that the community supports the work of Filipino filmmakers and actors, because that's pretty much the only way that movies like this are going to be made, if we actually show that there's a demand for it at the box office. So
how did you get into Sundance? That was quite an accomplishment.
Oh yeah, like I said, it took a couple of years to get the financing to finish the film, to get the rights for the music and enough money to finish the editing. So
and you got an award for the camera. I mean, you got a camera.
Yeah.
Right?
So we got a grant from the National Asian American Telecommunications Association, and I was able to finish the movie. And after the first year, we submitted it to Sundance, and we were rejected because the film wasn't finished. And after we got the grant, I submitted it the next year, and we got in. And I had actually met Heather Ray, the programmer for the Native Forum, the Sundance Native Forum, at the Independent Feature Film Market in New York. And she really liked the film. She really fought for it to get in. And I think that was key about it, that you actually have to find a programmer on the Sundance board that will fight for your movie, because a lot of filmmakers think that if they just drop their videotape in an application in the mail, that they'll get in based on their film's merits, which isn't the case at all. It's a really politicized process. And so having Heather Ray in our corner to fight for the film really helped us.
So
she's a good fighter. Have you seen her, like, kicks?
Did you all go to the Sundance? We all went.
Actually, there was people from as far off as New York and Toronto that came out to support the film.
Wow.
And it was the first time ever that a Filipino-American feature was world premiered at the Sundance Film Festival.
Did you shoot a film about going there? like they did in Tomorrow.
Well, nothing to that extent, but we do have video footage. Which will probably appear on the DVD.
Did some critic in the audience scream and yell and that this doesn't represent Filipinos?
No. Nothing, no drama like Better Luck Tomorrow. But actually, the New York Times head critic Elvis Mitchell was in the audience, and he was laughing all the way through the film, and I actually thought he was a plant, because he was laughing so loud. But he really enjoyed the film, and the flip side was the only film that didn't win an award at Sundance that Elvis Mitchell mentioned in his write-up. So that really helped our publicity campaign a lot.
That's great. So did it also spark the... I guess, how did you get into commercial theater like Edwards then? How did that happen afterwards? Like, you're going to be showing at Edwards across the street and in other cities.
Well, after Sundance, I was approached by a few distributors to put the film out, but they really didn't know how to market this type of film. They didn't really know how to deal with a Filipino audience, and I was just concerned that the film be handled in a sensitive manner. And so also a lot of times too, when distributors are putting out a film by a first-time filmmaker, they kind of want to take advantage of you. And the way what would happen is I would be doing most of the promoting while, you know, some Hollywood suit would be pocketing most of the money. So I didn't want that to happen. I wanted the people who put the work, hard work into the movie to get to reap the rewards. So after Sundance, we went on a festival run, got the word out about the movie, and word of mouth just grew. And from that, we were able to book the films in mainstream theaters. We had our theatrical premiere up in the Bay Area over the summer, played in Daly City, San Francisco, San Jose, New Pires. And then now we're going to be making our Los Angeles theatrical premiere this Friday, bringing the film back home.
Yeah. And Abe, on the, are you still on the line?
Yes, I am.
Oh, hi, great. What do you think about this whole scenario? For, I mean, this, what's been happening all these months?
It's been great. I'm having fun on my life, you know. I never, I'm always a promoter. I have a lot of friends all over the world, and in fact, we're well known in Senegal now, so through internet. So I enjoy this. I really love it. And I wish that we kept going, and some more Filipino American will do some Filipino centered movies.
Yeah, are people making more friends as a result of this? Are people writing in and all that?
Yes, it does. In fact, I'm also, I guess I got to plug it in. I'm also producing some stuff right now. So we have a lot of friends all over the world that wanted to know what we're doing.
Oh, yeah. How about the website? How did you create, did you get, is that, okay. It's really nice. How did that get started?
I think
Red
can answer that more than I can.
I'll take this one. Actually, our website is sponsored by the good people at PanoyLight.com. Actually, we went to college together, and they're good enough to hook us up with a cool website. It has a lot of content on it, a lot of material about the film, and there's a really cool section where each of the characters introduce themselves. And we have funny things like Dad's top five Filipino condiments. Also, Darius's top five Filipino heroes that aren't in the racist history books. So we really play a lot with the comedy aspect of the film on the site.
We actually are joined now by the actress who plays the sister in the film.
Hello.
Hi, Rana Lee Parr,
mm-hmm.
is also a graduate from UCI, from the Fine Arts School here.
Yeah, actually I double majored in biology and was in theater too, so.
Wow.
Yeah.
So you were in drama here.
Yeah, I did the drama program here.
And you played this kind of snotty girl who wants to date this white guy and denies you're Filipino even.
Yeah.
And the boyfriend doesn't find out until you get a nose job. And was it hard playing that role, or was it very challenging? Or?
Was it challenging? It was fun. Yeah, I have to say that it was definitely fun. It was. It was a little challenging in that I felt like. This character, I felt that she had a lot of anger in her, and so I kind of felt like I was angry all the time, you know, but it was pretty fun.
And have you come across people like that in your life, the character you played?
Probably not that extreme, but, I think there are definitely a lot of people like her, and, to a certain extent, as much as I don't want to admit this, I think I could recognize a little of myself in that character, too. You know, just being faced with, because it's hard, I think, being a person of color and growing up here, when you don't have certain role models in your life, especially growing up, you tend to associate with whatever you see in media. And if people don't look like you, then I think you, to a certain extent, you try to aspire to be whatever is out there. And so...
Missing, that's different.
Yeah.
How was it like here at Irvine when you went to school here?
What was it like?
I mean, were there a lot of Asians here?
I believe back then it was still, when I left, it was 46% Asian.
In the drama program.
Not too many, you know. I remember seeing people who were Filipino, and I'd be like, wow. I don't know what it's like now, but there were some, so it was nice. But I don't remember too many though.
Is it true the person that plays the boyfriend is missing?
We don't know what happened to him, but you know, I see him every now and then on commercials, so we know he still doesn't work.
Random commercials.
Yeah, so he's
people are scared him away with their nose job.
Dave Brown, if you're listening, we got into the Sundance Film Festival.
I didn't know that either.
And we're opening in LA.
Ralph, an early connection one time, but yeah, that's about it.
Yeah, the sad thing is I lost touch with the actor Dave Brown, who plays Kurt, the Mervic's boyfriend. The funny thing is that it took so long to finish the film that when I finally called him up about getting in the Sundance, he had moved, and he didn't give me his boarding address or number, and so I don't think he knows that we're actually at the Sundance Film Festival.
Well, if he's listening, maybe he can show up on Friday.
Maybe.
But how did you get the you know, the character who played the grandfather, you were already shooting, and apparently you got him the last 4 days of the shoot?
Yeah, unfortunately, since we got a free camera package from Panavision, we only had a limited time that we could use the camera package. We only had it for like 4 weeks. And so we had to start shooting without the role of the grandfather casted. And so we only had about 4 days left before we had to return the camera. And we still didn't have a Lolo, still didn't have a grandfather. And then my brother, Mark Polito, who's really active in the Filipino community, he brought home Mang Poping Batlig, who's very active in the Filipino World War II benefits movement. And he just nailed the part. We auditioned him right then, and the very next day we were shooting the scene. I think the very next day we were shooting his long monologue about the death march, the Bataan death march, and he was great. He nailed every line, and pretty much on the first take.
I bet when you were asking him about in the movie, about the things that were hanging on the wall, the display of medals and the swords, all sorts of stuff.
He actually went through it. I'm sure it was very personal for him.
How about UCI when you studied Filipino history? Did they mention that stuff for Bataan Death March or not?
Oh, actually,
you knew about it.
I kind of knew about it. I only took the Filipino American history at UCI with Dr. Fujita Roni.
Yeah.
But I learned about that through outside sources.
How about in high school? Did any of you learn about Filipino history in high school at all?
No, the closest thing I remember in high school was doing Filipino cultural dances, because we were trying to be like Kaba here, you know, but that's it, you know, nothing about our history.
So nothing about the American colonialism in the Philippines and the massacre at the doors of Balangigan?
Back when I was in high school, we won't say what year, but we never learned anything about any type of alternate history. Only when I started, when I got into college, and we still didn't have Filipino history classes in Long Beach State. We had to actually fight for them, just as the students here at UC Irvine are doing now.
Yeah.
And I think that's one of the big things about this movie, is the importance of knowing how Filipino Americans have contributed to this country. And especially that the scene where the Lolo talks about the Bataan Death March. Mm. That's a really moving scene, and I think that not only for the Lolo's character, you know, but all of the historical figures that the movie mentions, Filipino kids need to see this movie because they need to know that we do have Filipino heroes.
Did you leave out U.S. Colonialism deliberately, or?
I didn't think that was important to address that issue because the scene is about the Lolo and Darius's relationship and him opening up to his grandson. It isn't about getting up on a soapbox and backing some issue, but the scene is about him relating, the grandfather relating his experiences to his grandson and then bonding over that. So I think the scene is effective in that way.
But you also mentioned Philip Veracruz. So there was some Filipino-American about his role in farm workers' struggle and how he's ignored. People think it's just, Mexican-Americans are involved.
Definitely, yeah. Well, yeah, I think that that's the important aspect of the film, how we try to show how Filipino-American heroes don't get the credit that they do. I think that making people, hopefully when kids watch the movie...
Is that me? Feedback, yeah. Oh,
yeah. Well, hopefully when Filipino kids watch the movie and then they hear Filipino heroes like Philip Veracruz, Andres Bonifacio, that they'll be curious and interested enough to learn about them.
Yeah, definitely. How about the depiction of blacks in the black hip hop? And did some people find that offensive at all, or get upset? Or
that's an interesting question because the majority of African Americans who've seen the film, they understand that it's a satire. That they understand what the point I'm getting at. And as I mentioned, Elvis Mitchell, the critic for the New York Times, is African American. He totally got the film, and that how we weren't in any way degrading hip hop slang or hip hop culture.
Yeah.
We're just trying to show how a lot of Filipino kids, just latch on to other cultures without knowing about themselves first.
So how would you compare this to the debut? I know they've gotten out a lot of people to support it. They showed up across the street, the whole crew.
Well, I think the debut is a great movie in itself, but I think the two films are totally different. I think the flip side is I think, to be honest, it's a much funnier movie. It's more of a comedy, and I think it's also more politically driven. I think there's a lot more issues that are addressed in the film. And I think the debut, it's more of a kind of like a John Hughes 80s type of movie. There's nothing wrong with that. We definitely need those kind of images too.
It's a more Hollywoodish kind of.
I don't know if I'd say it's more Hollywoodish because you don't see any Filipinos up on the big screen in Hollywood films, but. As far as I guess you could say it's more conventional storytelling.
I was just going to mention that I think the difference was, because I was also in the debut, small little role, but the different feeling is that flip side is you have this feeling of being the underdog. You know, like Laurent said, we filmed for under $8,000. And to be able to make it this far and to get the story and the film up on the big screen is a huge accomplishment, and I think that's the feeling, we're kind of like the underdogs and we made it. And
so sometimes I have to pinch myself because it's kind of ridiculous when you think about it. We have this low budget black and white $8,000 movie that we're showing again in cineplexes. That never happens.
Especially a black and white movie too, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
And
$8,000, yeah.
And it's really just a testament to the strength of the story, because the film isn't in theaters because it has a huge budget or big Hollywood stars, or special effects. It's there because it's a good story. And it's a really funny movie, really funny, entertaining film.
Definitely, it's pretty hilarious, and I think the writing is really good. You know, it's very intelligent, I think. Oh. And, 8,000 is probably less than it takes for a nose job.
Yeah, I think you're right.
That's about the price of the loincloth that I had to wear.
The bahab. Oh, sorry, bahab. Yeah, and really that much. Oh gosh.
It was a designer.
A designer, long cloth.
Yes.
Did you feel self-conscious prancing around in that?
Did I feel self-conscious? yes.
Were you doing it the whole time? You got really into it?
You know, thankfully we did most of those shots.
One day.
You know, kind of, yeah, in one day or 2 days. instead of, so we, you know, spreading it out from like the first day into the last day, then you'd see a major difference in some of the shots if we did it that way. But
yeah,
you know, it was fun. It's something that, you know, it's part of the script, and we had to do it, and it was interesting.
Jose, did you want to put music? I mean, did you put your own music in this film?
No, none of my music appears.
But did you? What did you think of the? I mean, you had some. There's traditional music. There's also rap music, right, in the background, as the kind of underscoring the different dialogue that you had with your friend.
Yeah.
How did you pick those, or how did that come around?
I'm sorry.
How did that get about? Did you pick the music for that?
Oh no, actually,
scene?
I think Rod, the one who picked the tracks.
Yeah, actually, while scoring the film, I made it a choice to use all Filipino American artists.
Yeah,
and from the groundbreaking alternative rock group, the New Prison Caterpillars, to the hip hop underground artist, Poet Named Life, you know, to Kai Mingo Ndaya, who plays the traditional Kumantang music.
The gongs.
Mm. Yeah, exactly. Mm. And I just wanted to showcase Filipino-American musicians, because just like Filipino-American actors, you know, they don't get enough exposure.
How about the, you have a website that links to some of the CDs and stuff, right?
Yeah, actually we do on our website, www.flipsidemovie.com, on the link section. It pretty much links to every single Filipino-American film ever made, from the debut to American Adobo. And it also highlights links from Filipino artists like the comedian Rex Navarrete, and also other up-and-coming artists. You know, so I think that's what's been so great about the community, just the supporting this film. You know, Filipino, I think we're kind of breaking the stereotype of the crab mentality. Both the debut crews and the Flipside crews are very supportive of each other.
Yeah.
And we know that both of us are just trying to do the same thing. We're just trying to uplift our people and trying to give us some kind of identity.
You don't get jealous?
No, not at all. You know, I really have to give those guys props, because I know how hard it is to make a film. Yeah. With not much support and with a limited budget. Actually, I went to film school with the writer and co-producer of the debut, John Castro.
Yeah.
So we go way back, way before all of this Flipside and debut stuff happened. So,
this is my world, right? So you probably know all the people are doing this.
Yeah, and the cast of the debut, Joy Briscoe and Bernadette Balaktas, they've been really supportive of us coming out to our screenings and promoting the film, too. So, a lot of people think that there might be this rivalry, but it could be the furthest from the case, because, you know, we're just all trying to do the best we can.
Do you want to, personally, do you want to make it big and go do Hollywood stuff or no?
Well, I wouldn't, if you're asking, would I like to work with a bigger budget, definitely, but not at the expense of watering down my vision.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't. That's what's so great about the Flipside. You know, it shows, like, I think the Flipside and the debut are better than is a lot of the Hollywood product that's put out there for with budgets like up to 20-30 million, you know, and it's because we focus on the story and the characters and the dialogue, and it shows that you don't have to have a $30 million budget to tell a great story, you know. And you know, if, like I said, if the price of working in Hollywood is, you know, selling out or you know, yeah, watering down my vision, you know, then I would rather continue making films like The Flip Side the rest of my life.
Is it going to be out in CD? I mean, DVD. I mean, eventually.
Well, we hope so. Yeah. If we have a good enough theatrical release, we'll put it on DVD.
Yeah. You know, Vera, I was going to ask you, and also Ronnie, when you were at UCI, I know that the cover buy-in people eventually left the APSA people group. Was that happening when you were there, Vera?
Yeah, it was happening when I was there.
Yeah. What was the reason for that? I never got the reason for that.
APSA
was the Asian Pacific Student Alliance, and
I don't have the official explanation, but from my understanding, it was because they felt that they were not being accurately represented within that umbrella.
Because a lot of times people don't think of, I know now with the war on terrorism, people are rethinking what is Asian American, right? But in a lot of times, you know, that's a contested area, obviously. I mean, it evolves over time, and there's been, traditionally it was like Chinese, Japanese, and then, you know, it became, but the Filipinos were always here a long time already. But, you know, I mean, what do you think, do you see this film as an Asian American film or as just as a Filipino American film? Or how do you see it? I guess in that, to relate back to the film.
was that to me? Or?
Oh, yeah. What do you think?
I think it's, you know, first and foremost, it's a story about Filipino Americans,
right,
because we've been lacking any kind of media representation.
Yeah.
And you know, if people decide to include us in bigger Asian American film movement, and then that's fine too. I think it's a sensitive subject. I mean, that's people are still talking about. And I think
Well, you got money from NADA, which is Asian American.
Exactly.
And they definitely see you as part of the Asian American movement, right?
Yeah, you know, I really don't like to put any labels on the film.
Mm.
You know, I really don't even see it as just a Filipino story, you know. I see it as a story about Filipino Americans, about Americans living here, you know, that you might not have known about.
Mm.
You know, and I know there's a big issue about whether Filipinos are Asians, you know, but and I really don't like getting caught up in that, because I don't think that's what the film is about. I think that stuff like that, it can be divisive.
Mm-hmm.
Where I think the flip side is more about, you know, just trying to tell a good story and trying to show, you know, that Filipinos are a part of America.
You know, the LA Times did a story on headline "The Flip Side" recently, and it was about the wife of Governor Davis. Because she's the flip side of the governor. So if you do a keyword search in LexisNexis on flip side, you'll probably come up with lots of articles that are not about the film.
Mm-hmm.
How did you come up with the title?
Well, there's the title "Flip Side" has about three different meanings. The first one, of course, is flip is a slang for Filipino.
Right, right.
And I know a lot of people might think it's a derogatory, that's where the word originated, but I think a lot of Filipinos today see it as a term of pride.
Take it
a
back.
Lot of, yeah,
take
a
it
lot,
back, yeah.
Exactly.
Sure.
Taking what once was a derogatory and using it for your own benefit. You know, I think a lot of Filipino kids see flip to mean Filipino living in pride,
uh-huh,
as opposed to the other definition, which we won't say on the air. But, besides that, also, the flip side stands for the B side. Before CDs came out, when they had those 45s,
uh-huh,
you know, the B side stood for the song that you never hear.
Uh-huh.
And I think that's exactly. I think
that's
what the flip side shows, a story that you've never seen or heard before.
The Jose, you actually use the word flip in as your name also, right?
Myself, yes.
as your
It's as my nom de plume.
Nom de plume, right? Or your nom de guerre.
Yeah, there's a history behind that as well.
Was that also using it as Philip as a to take back the word?
You know what? Originally, that is the case. That did change, however. Okay, well, these are just my views on the whole thing, and I never try to argue this with anybody because it's pointless to argue. But personally, oh my God! All right, if you see the term Filipino, that was forced upon us by the Spanish, pretty much, and Filipino being named after King Philip of Spain. Okay, and I believe he died of syphilis, from what I understand. So every time we use the term Filipino, we're like, okay, yeah, this white guy that died of syphilis. Now, I never argue this because it's pointless too, but that's the way I view it. So, in terms of my name, Flip Child itself, it's more a reflection of me. You know, I'm a Gemini. For people that know me, it's, you know, sometimes I'm chill, sometimes I'm really hype, and like Nice and Smooth said, sometimes I rhyme slow, sometimes I rhyme quick, and that's really just representative of me, you know?
Oh, cool. Sounds like a child of the Aquarius age or something. Dawning of Aquarius or something. No, it's good. Well, actually, we're out of time. It's almost 5 o'clock here. I want to thank you all for joining on the air, and I mean in the studio, and also by phone.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you very much. And
we just want to
give about your website.
Sure. You can learn more about the movie at www.flipsidemovie.com. We are premiering again in Los Angeles theaters this Friday, November 8th, and especially at the Edwards University here at Irvine. So please come out and support us. The lead actor, Vernon Gagne, will be at the theater for opening weekend. So come out and support.
And there will be cards, postcards with information on the film at the... We'll leave them at the Cross Culture Center at UCI and outside my office, 380 Main Library. This is Dan Zhang signing off for Subversity here on KUCI 88.9 FM in Irvine. The opinions expressed on the show are not necessarily those of Regents of the University of California, nor the management of KUCI. Thanks for listening. You can go to the website if you tell your friends. The show will be put up on Real Audio shortly after this. At go.fast.2/SV. go.fast.2/SV. Thanks for listening. This is KCI 88.9 FM in Irvine.
Cool.
Thank you.
Thank you.
No problem.
Yeah. How much time do I have?
No reason.
Okay.
Coming up, another show.
Thanks a lot, Dan.
Oh, thanks. Can we take a picture of this?
Yeah. Sure.
Ow! Oh, sorry.
It wasn't too bad. It's just that
I finished
it. Sorry.
Hey, man.
And you're listening to Beyond Nashville on KUCI 88.9 FM Irvine, eclectic music, engaging talk. You can call me Darlin', and on today's show, we're going to hear from Rusty Miller and the...